Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, my beloved co-host.
Mike Cosentino here. Yes, less than beloved this morning, because we're going to talk about Benghazi.
Which he called the Benghazi hoax before the show.
Yeah.
And then we have Gary LeMaster.
Good morning.
Silent Gary, who's going to be talking today.
It's not so silent, Gary.
So Democratic Perspective is going to talk about Benghazi. We did our first story on this in 2013.
November 11, 2013.
Here it is.
We reviewed it again in 2014 in January when we looked at all the different phony investigations. And we investigated phony Republican investigations in 11-26-12. Now, when we say these are phony, is that none of them have ever produced an indictment of anybody anywhere.
Because
they are phony.
Yeah.
They're just politically motivated. And somebody was saying, well, if you even look back to the Watergate committee, there's a political tinge to all these congressional committees because they're made up by partisan politics. But there's never been anything like the Republican pattern since the Obama administration.
This is more than a tinge.
It's more than a tinge. It's an entire, it's completely corrupt. It's worse than, in terms of the focus on stuff.
And this isn't just going to be a Democratic rant on the Republicans attacking poor Hillary. The next president, they knew she had the numbers to win, so they had to find a way, and this was their way.
Well,
and one of them admitted it.
Yeah. So two of them admitted it. Fellow who is going to be running for Speaker of the House admitted it. He bragged on a national television station. Republican congressman from New York bragged the sort of same thing, that it was out to get Hillary, and that's what it was aimed about, when somebody asked him why they were doing such strange things.
You have a
and then they had a conservative committee assistant.
A whistleblower
who came forward and said, wow, this is all about getting Hillary. Now, I don't know how Mike and Gary feel about it, but the problem is you can know it's all about getting Hillary from day one, and you can watch the investigation from afar, and you can see the pattern, but the press doesn't do anything really until somebody makes a misstep or admits it. Then it becomes big news.
Well, what passes for journalism today, for the most part, is passing along whatever talking points one side or the other makes. So when the committees, and I emphasize committees, the numerous ones would release an email or some other talking point that seemed to serve their purposes, the media never bothered to investigate. They simply just passed it along.
There's been very, very bad reporting on this. To give you a little bit of a summary, the latest Benghazi committee, and this is number 8 of 8 different committees to investigate Benghazi. How many committees investigated some of these other events, like the attack on the USS Cole?
Well, in September, the terrorist attacks on September 11th had 2 committees.
Attacks on the Cole had 2 committees.
A JFK investigation.
Khobar Towers, it was an attack on a facility in Saudi Arabia that killed a bunch of
people. So we're 3 years into Benghazi investigations.
And we have 8. We have 8 investigations so far.
The one that stands out, Mike mentioned, is the JFK investigation, the Warren Commission. Where Benghazi investigations for 4 deaths has gone on for 3 years.
Yeah.
And with 8 congressional committees, the investigation following the assassination of John Kennedy lasted 10 months.
This particular committee has lasted 17 months. And it's long been thought that the Republicans are dragging their feet and making it go as slowly as possible because they wanted to get into 2016 so they could get Hillary Clinton with it. They so far spent 4.5, and I bet it's going to go to over $5 million of taxpayer monies on this sort of witch hunt. And they've been sort of outed by their own committee member, not member, but researcher, and by the Republican leadership and other Republicans about what their aim is. Now, if you watch the committee or you saw an excerpt of it, and there's some stuff that's sort of hard to explain, that if you don't follow this in kind of detail, right, Gary? And there's the Sidney Blumenthal thing. So why was this about Sidney Blumenthal? Well, Sidney Blumenthal was a reporter who defended the Clintons and is a longtime Clinton friend.
A lawyer.
So that's what,
A lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, he's I don't know if he's a lawyer, but he's a reporter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he worked for the New Yorker and a whole bunch of other magazines. And he's a longtime Clinton confidant and friend. Okay. So, why?
So he had some emails show up on Hillary's personal server. Gee, what a shock.
Yeah. Wow. Well, anyway, the Elijah Cummings made a big stink about releasing his entire testimony. And the reason the Republicans didn't want to release their whole interview with Sidney Blumenthal is because it had nothing basically to do with Benghazi. Little or nothing. It was just a fishing expedition to try to get something on Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton's server was in the Clinton household, which is protected by the Secret Service, so that we all get that clear. There has been no information of any breach of that server by any foreign power or anybody else. So we're talking about a technical thing of whether she should have used it, which probably she shouldn't have, but there is no real release of any kind of secret information to anyone. The server was never, as far as anybody can tell, misused or tampered with.
Steve, tell us about
trying to get into the Clinton household is, you know, to steal a server or something is just a suicide mission. So.
Tell us about the initial report. I think, at least people remember the initial report on Benghazi.
The initial report on Benghazi was that It occurred at a time when there was a whole series of demonstrations. Gary, how many countries? Half dozen?
Yeah, it was across the Middle East. And in Cairo, which Egypt, where the television for Benghazi originates. Benghazi doesn't have, or at least didn't have television of its own.
It's in the far eastern part of Libya next to Egypt, yeah.
It got TV programming from Cairo. Well, in Cairo, there were spontaneous demonstrations over, and truly spontaneous demonstrations over an offensive video attacking Islam.
And what we've learned in the meantime, Mike and Gary, is that Islamic extremists have drawn a line in the sand that you can't say anything or you can't denigrate the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad. And if you do, you can be attacked. And we saw the attack on the comic magazine in France, Charlie Hurlebeau. And we've seen other attacks on cartoonists or anybody else who ridicules the Prophet of Islam. And the extremists have drawn a line. There's a line between the West, which believes in free speech, and these extremists who don't want their religion insulted.
What's that got to do with Benghazi?
That's exactly a good question. So it's not an odd thing to believe that when you put out a video that attacks Islam, it's going to cause a whole lot of demonstrations and riots and things. And the pattern in the last few years establishes that same thing. So the administration initially said that this was a spontaneous attack with some organized forces involved. It was the same reporting, and when we did the original show, we looked into the reporting by French television and newspapers, and also by Chinese.
So the original reporting was an error.
The original reporting was an error, and it was consistent across the board. Okay. So when Americans look at it, they say, well, American, our reporting was wrong, but everybody's reporting was wrong.
Yeah, this whole furor started over Ambassador Susan Rice reading the talking points or giving the talking points to a press conference following the attacks in Benghazi. And she was reading the talking points that had been distributed by the CIA. These weren't talking points generated by the Obama administration. They were talking points from the CIA.
The CIA was probably trying to play down the fact that organized groups were involved in this in order to get more information about them. It's just an investigative.
So this thing
technique.
Gets going. The original report is wrong. A representative of the Obama administration goes on TV.
Terrorist group claims credit right off.
They claim credit because it gets members. Everybody from Joe's little the terrorist cell in the back of the store. Yeah, they're going to claim credit because it gives them cred.
We think it's horrible, but if you're a terrorist, you want to claim any kind of
any gang.
Thing.
If you're in a gang, you want to claim that you've got some it gives you some credibility. But this was a twofer for the Republicans because they got Clinton, they get to damage Clinton, and they get to damage Obama. So
they had a great time with this.
Fox News had a great time with this. I'm looking at Gary's notes here. Almost 1,100 evening segments within 20 months after Benghazi.
And it's obviously politically driven.
They could attack Clinton. They could attack Obama for whatever reason. And they would find ways to make these really loose connections, and their viewers like that.
It's a tragic incident. Four Americans were killed, but there have been many tragic attacks. I mean, the people in the State Department expect to run a certain amount of risk. I'm one of these people who's skeptical of all this kind of hindsight stuff because somebody is always saying we need more security or we shouldn't do this, what happens in the investigation, in the internal investigation by the State Department, is people are criticized, but nobody's fired. Now, what that tells you, there's a big pressure to come up with some scapegoats. And if they don't come up with scapegoats, you could either say it's a conspiracy to not do anything, but there's no reason to protect people when you could scapegoat them, or there's not really the kind of negligence that has been claimed.
The real conspiracy was to place blame on the Obama administration and on Hillary. Remember, after the attacks, there were all sorts of reports of that were fomented and repeated endlessly on Fox News Channel. That there was the administration had issued a stand down order from the American security forces in Tripoli to prevent them from going to rescue Chris Stevens and the people at the consulate in Benghazi. So they kept pounding that over and over and over again. I'd just like to point out, the findings are in. After eight investigations,
We got this figured out?
We actually have learned some things. And what we've learned is that there was no stand-down order for the security forces. They criticized the State Department and the CIA and all of American intelligence for a lack of awareness of vulnerability for the consulate, not only in Benghazi but elsewhere. They criticized the CIA for lack of intelligence, preceding the attack.
There had been claims that the U.S. knew the attack was coming. It's again another fraudulent kind of claim.
We learned that, as was obvious, that there was inadequate security. There was a facility of the CIA not far away from the consulate, and so they sent their security forces to help protect the consulate. They were too late. They were only like a mile away, but they were too late. By the time they got there, Stevens was already dead. We learned that Susan Rice did not intentionally deceive Americans. We learned it was not illegal for Clinton to use a private email server as one of her predecessors, Colin Powell, had done. We learned that no classified documents were sent from Clinton's server. She was absolved of that by the CIA and the FBI and the DOJ. We learned that Clinton conducted little real State Department business via email. Most of her business communications were done via secure cables and phone calls. We learned that the Select Committee spent nearly $5 million of taxpayer money on this fishing expedition. CIA caught the chair of the Select Committee, Trey Gowdy, altering one of Hillary's emails in order to smear her. CIA found that Gowdy had inadvertently exposed the name of a CIA operative in the heading of one of his committee emails. We found that, as was mentioned earlier, that Kevin McCarthy and another GOP congressman and a former committee employee admitted that the committee was formed to smear Clinton. And we learned that
folks, there are seven committees already investigating this material. Seven committees. This is the eighth committee to do it.
And my favorite finding, I'll just finish with this, is that they found that it's been revealed recently. The committee didn't find this, but it's been revealed since the last hearing that the chairman of the committee, Trey Gowdy, and another one of the GOP members also used private email servers for government business.
Also, that Trey Gowdy received large contributions from a group attacking Hillary Clinton while he was conducting the hearing. I believe it's about $10,000 in ads supporting him in his home district by a group that's produced some of the most vicious anti-Hillary ads yet. He had to return some of the money because he got caught doing this. But,
I do want to make a comment on this is a symbol of the modern age. And I'm going to make a comparison to our own Sedona National Mine. Keep Sedona Beautiful and their coalition thought it was self-evident that people would want to preserve the land in and around Sedona, and they had a method to do that. So they thought this would get support, this would get discussion, and for them it was self-evident. Benghazi was a horrible thing. Four Americans killed in the State Department. And it was evident after the initial reports what happened. Some bad guys, if I had some vulnerable Americans, and security was lax, and some people took advantage of it. It's evident. I'm one of the reasons that I can choose here. Somebody shot the president in the JFK assassination. So what happened was evident. Now, lots of stuff behind it, and 40 years of things. but the idea is that somebody with an agenda comes forward, some people with an agenda, in this case the local Tea Party, comes forward with what I call misinformation. You know, that you're not going to be able to ride your bike on that preserved land. You're not going to be able to walk your dog. I mean, some... So it's the same thing with some of the Benghazi things, that somehow whoever was in charge, in this case the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, had to have some culpability in this horrible thing that happened to these four Americans.
Now, it's obvious, I think, isn't what you're saying, Mike, is that anybody who knows how things work, there are hundreds of embassies and consulates all over
right.
the country. And all over the world, I should say. And so that the Secretary of State would have knowledge of the particular security arrangements in Benghazi is on the surface completely absurd.
Right.
No one could track that. And suppose Hillary Clinton had been very, very interested in the security in Benghazi. She would have to have enough information to override the security experts who had set up the security. How would she have that expertise? Now, if I say, I mean, she, you know, even if she had thought about it, the experts are telling her that they've got the coverage. There's a debate about whether there's enough coverage or not. But the point is that for someone like the Secretary of State to intervene against a decision made by a whole lot of people whose job it is to make the decision would take an extraordinary amount of information or intuition on the face of it.
62 State Department deaths in the 8 years of the Bush administration. Not a single investigation. Now, and some of those weren't even reported. The State Department, as you said at the top of the show, carries some risk. We try to keep that risk minimal, but apparently it's a risky business. Not a single investigation. I have to admit, I got to be curious how 60 people died in the.
What I think, to go to your point again, Mike, is when you go on the internet and you do a search about Benghazi, and I know that Gary's done the same kind of thing I have, is that you'll find dozens and dozens, almost all the links at the top of Google are conservative,
right.
anti-Hillary things.
To be there.
I mean, there are dozens of them. The chance of hearing the other side are fairly small on the internet. You have to actually look and know who some of these people are. Now, if it says gethillaryclinton.com, you know that they're gonna think.
Or Fox News.
Yeah,
Fox News.
Yeah, you're gonna know. But the thing is that there is this absolutely massive effort to tar and feather her for something that she really is. You know, and if you're Secretary of State, you're responsible, I suppose, for everything good and bad that happens in the entire tenure of your office. But to pick one little incident, however tragic, and make that the whole thing,
like I said, it's
pretty despicable.
It was a twofer, because they got the bomb. They could show that the bomb administration was negligent in their duties. And don't forget, it's the same news source that was touting Obama's Muslimism.
It's the birther.
So obviously he was protecting his people.
So what happens in Libya is the United States doesn't massively intervene, and there's a debate within the State Department, the Department of Defense, whether to intervene or not. Hillary Clinton is one of the people who wants to intervene. So the U.S. intervenes. It cost us almost no money and no lives. It's a huge success. Gaddafi is deposed. This horrible, crazy guy who's been running the country for decades is deposed. And then, right, Gary, the results are not really any different than Iraq. We break this dictatorship and we end up with a monstrous civil war going on.
Actually, a lot of this with the hearing was hearings was aimed at the Obama foreign policy in the Middle East. The neocons very much dislike the Obama administration's hands-off approach to the Middle East. In Benghazi, we did intervene with airstrikes to help the rebels and unseat Gaddafi. And it was found that the majority of the people of Libya want a democracy. They want a real government. But there are some, few groups of really bad actors that have capitalized on this, and they're armed, often with American weapons, which we distribute. We're the world's largest, arms dealer. Going back to Chris Stevens, the ambassador who was stationed in Tripoli but decided to make a trip to Benghazi, he really liked the Libyan people.
And he loved Benghazi and had been stationed there and had lots of friends and supporters.
One of my friends lived in Benghazi for a couple of years while I was with the media, and absolutely continues to talk about how wonderful the majority of the Libyan people are.
But Gary, what happens is the attack on the American consulate or pre-consulate, whatever it was, presages the collapse of Benghazi. It's been engulfed. It is a signal that Benghazi is heading for civil conflict of the worst kind, with groups against groups. Right.
Apparently, Stevens had been questioned and about, is it really wise to go to Benghazi at this time? And he was the sort of person, from what I've read, that enjoyed, going out on a bicycle and riding around the town and meeting the Libyan people. He enjoyed going for walks. He didn't like having a large security detail with him. He really thought that he could, better represent the American people to the Libyans by not doing it surrounded by a bunch of guns.
And there's always that tension, right, between the State Department people who want to reach out and security people who want to protect them. And they are contradictory. If you have absolutely complete security, you really don't even have a diplomat in the country. You can barely move around. Nobody talks to anybody. So on one end, if you have too much security, that's a problem. If you don't have enough, then apparently, at least in some occasions, when you're talking about unstable countries and unstable situations, that could be just as, that could be physically dangerous to American diplomats.
And I'd like to point out too that I think what really got this whole these eight investigations rolling was the information that Clinton used a private email server for her email for the State Department. As I mentioned before, certainly all of the serious business of the Secretary of State was conducted by cables and by phone calls. And apparently she and like I mentioned, Cole and Powell before her didn't think it was a big deal to combine her, the few business emails that she got with her personal, emails.
But I think Mike made a good point, Gary, which is that, there are dozens of conspiracy theories right at the beginning of this thing.
It was
vicious conspiracy theories, and that's where the email plays into it. The chances are that there's anything on the email are very, very remote. But anything that can raise suspicion becomes really is exaggerated and brought forward by the media, right, Mike?
Yeah.
And they don't care whether it's true or not. They're out to get somebody, and any kind of suspicion, they were ordered to stand down and not protect American.
Well,
who would do that? I mean, it's
media matters investigated, and Gary's notes here, the methodology is by suggestion. And that you can suggest that the attack had to be some sort of negligent behavior on the State Department or by the Obama. You can suggest that there's some sort of connection between this negligent behavior and all sorts and other behavior in foreign policy in the world. And suggest and suggest and suggest. There's just so many suggestions that the news outlets can do, and they keep it up. And people, believe it or not, people aren't as stupid as they sometimes appear to be, and they get the suggestions, and their job is done. Doesn't have to be any facts, doesn't have to be any evidence. You can just suggest that since this happened, then there's this whole host of negligent behavior on the part of the Obama administration. Obama's hands-off attitude in the Middle East was clear. He didn't want to see Americans coming home in boxes. It's not hard to figure out. He felt that we were, and we were, everybody in this room has stood out on the corner here at Coffee Pot and protested Americans dying in Iraq and Iran.
Well, I think the thing is that there are real issues like American involvement in Syria. I mean, this is a serious issue that people can disagree about. Some people see, and it's something that you can then discuss. If I say I want to have a no-fly zone, you can work that logically to what that would mean. There's all kinds of things that can be done. We should have bombed Assad, and then we would have made vulnerable every Shiite, every Alawite, every Christian and Druze in Syria to the Islamic front. So there are really legitimate discussions that should be had about foreign policy. And there is a real question, I think, Mike, which you raised beyond the suggestions. The Libyan thing was masterful in the sense of not getting any Americans killed and doing something with little money and with lots of allies. And yet in the end, we ended up with placing one horrible dictator with violent chaos.
Right. One of the things I think Americans are going to have to come to grips with, and certainly the GOP has not, is that despite being the only, world's only superpower, we can't, create new American-like governments in other countries. We've tried it since the end of World War II. It began with the Eisenhower administration and the Dulles brothers, and it continues to this day where the idea is that we see somebody that is not kind, a government that's not kind to American corporations, and we're going to do something about it. We send our troops to battle to support our corporations, and that's really what it comes down to. And that's been going on since the end of World War II, and it's failed in almost every case. There's been a serious backlash that has hurt us even more.
I don't know how many different ways we can say, and certainly that's behind it. I don't know how many different ways we can say Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. And this was the chant from Fox News for several years now.
1,100 different segments
and
on
other
Benghazi,
news
Mike.
That it was politically motivated, and they weren't going to let go. This was their ticket to hammering the Obama administration on some what they've considered something real.
And the problem they have, Mike, isn't it true, and Gary, they don't really have anything on Hillary Clinton. She's been in public life for so darn long that they don't really have anything on her. They needed some ammunition, and they didn't have any ammunition, and so it became Benghazi. It had to be Benghazi because there was nothing else. She was a very successful Secretary of State. She did a good job. She did everything in a very professional way, and they only had one thing, and that was Benghazi. And then they found the email servers, and who the hell cares about the email servers?
Well, that was like catnip to the Hillary and Obama haters, because they could, get a hold of her private emails and dig through and hopefully find something that's sensational.
Because if you say enough stuff, pretty much, folks, would you want all your private emails out there in public?
No.
Some of you would, but a lot of you wouldn't, because you can't be frank. And when I was in business, we had very frank discussions, and I'm sure Gary and Mike did, about what to do, about a product coming out. And you'll have a meeting where somebody will say, well, this product really is crap, but I should do it anyway because we'll make money on it. You wouldn't want that quoted. And I don't know where the right or wrong in this thing is, but certainly most of us, when we're doing business and stuff, don't want every single thing hanging out there, although... Well, what do you think, Gary? Would that be better?
Look at what happened when WikiLeaks hacked the State Department email server. You know, Hillary's, you know, the interesting thing is that Hillary, because she had hers on a private email server, her emails weren't hacked, but the server was hacked, and you had all of these horrible emails, you know, talking about how fat somebody, you know, and another, you know, an ambassador from another country was, or his.
He's a really fat, ugly guy.
Yeah, his or her predilections.
Smells bad, you know.
You know, there were all sorts of embarrassing comments made that were made public. So, again, if you can get a, you know, if the GOP can get a hold of the private email server and private emails of the leading Democratic candidate, you know, it's like catnip. I can search through and hopefully I'll find, you know, Sidney Blumenthal's messages or something that's going to be.
So understand that the argument is whether there was any classified information on a server that was never broken into. Right. There was no WikiLeaks about. That's what the thing about. Is there any kind of technical thing? And so there are these arguments. Well, was this, information classified after she sent it out to somebody? Well, you know, I mean, it's nonsense.
Let's talk
about fundamentally nonsense.
What another Clinton administration, someday we should need to talk about what a Clinton administration is going to be like. Because I hate to tempt the gods, as we say in the back room of the strategic planning of the Democratic Party, which we're all involved in, obviously.
Deeply involved.
Democratic
yeah.
perspective is
we
perspective.
Give orders to the party.
They do look for our our guidance and counsel when they make these plans. But we're going to have a woman president of the United States. She's going to be a Democrat. Her name's going to be Hillary Clinton, and so we can talk about what a Clinton administration is going to look like in after 2017 when Obama steps down.
What we're talking about, right, Mike, is the denouement of this. The result of all this thing is an 11-hour torture session that's public, and she handles herself extremely well.
That's it. I heard
and they handle themselves extremely badly.
I heard two things I'm going to say, a variety of sources, that from hour one through hour 11, she was brilliant. I mean, and this was, you know, from news commentators all over America. Number two, I want to talk about Tony Blair, the co-conspirator, as far as I'm concerned, with George Bush, in giving us what we have on the Middle East today.
But before we talk about Tony, let's just go to this. And I was just going to add, Mike, that to your point was that, one of the magazines, The Atlantic, published an article with all the conservative critics of the hearings, and they are really, really pissed off that the hearings went so bad and enabled her. It's one of those really interesting things, I think, Mike, where you go out to get somebody, and you're the ones who get clobbered.
Yeah. Truth is just such it's in the way when you have truth and somebody's ability to recognize it and express it. It just gets in the way of your program sometimes.
She looks presidential, and they look like they're partisan jerks.
I think
that's bad for you.
That was her ticket to the White House, by the way. That 11 hours. They gave it to her.
I think
and
we'd be remiss if we didn't mention some of the other scandals in the Obama scandal-rama GOP has tried to push.
We called our program Desperately Seeking Scandals that we did in 2012.
And really, that's what Benghazi was the outgrowth of. But it started with the Solyndra investigation of, you know, the investment in a solar company that failed. And the, you know, our own Paul Gosar, Congressman Gosar, was involved in the committee that was investigating that and others. And, you know, they were trying to hang the administration with it for losing a lot of U.S. dollars. Well, it turned out the results of it were that the loan process, they found out, began during the Bush administration, that the Solyndra failed only because of Chinese government subsidies to its competitors, and the government didn't lose a dime on it. In fact, it made money on the sale
of
assets.
And the program overall of loaning innovative companies money or what is it, they guarantee the loans from other right. sources to innovative countries has been very profitable for the U.S. government. So,
and then we had, that was about the same time as we had the Fast and Furious, the gun running thing, which was an issue, a serious issue. But what we found out of that was the program began out of frustration of Arizona ATF officials who were trying to charge straw buyers of guns who were running them to or giving them to gun runners to Mexico and were unable to charge them with any serious crimes because it's not illegal for non-felons to go into a gun store, plop down several $1,000s and walk away with as many guns as they could buy, go across the street to a parking lot and sell them to a gun runner. And so they would bring these people before court and there were no charges that they could make stick. So they got desperate and tried to do something, you know, something grander and it failed.
They didn't have the resources to track the guns that they were trying to.
And at the time, the ATF had no director because the NRA-backed GOP had blocked all nominations to that position.
And their budget had been frozen for a decade.
Right. And the scandal was never tied to the Obama administration. And then finally, in the scandal rama, we have, remember the IRS and, you know, investigation over
there was some news on that recently,
right,
Gary?
Remember that there was the accusation that they were subjecting Tea Party and other conservative groups to special treatment and making them jump through hoops to get their 501 status. And there was news on it that after an exhaustive investigation, the DOJ found absolutely no wrongdoing by anyone in the IRS.
Let's they talk found about mistakes in the way things are done, but nothing illegally had been done.
Let's talk about our new shows, next shows. First of all, I want to say thanks to Democrats at the Red Rocks for the money they send our way. We want to talk about
they have a breakfast coming up?
We have a breakfast coming up. Is it November already? That's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have a breakfast November 19th. Door has their monthly breakfast at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. Some great speakers. Check them out. We have executive director of the Democratic Party. This is a big a BFD.
The new director.
A new director. And she's like 12. She's young. She's not. We've had directors in the last WE meeting, the Arizona Democratic Party, have all been these rich old guys. And so this young woman as executive director, her name is Sheila Healy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to her, going to try to get her on the show.
Yep.
Some people don't think there is an Arizona Democratic Party. They are very active. We live up here, and in their defense, which is hard to do, you know, there's 4.5 million people in the Maricopa County. There's not a lot of people up here, so the Arizona Democratic Party, like most political parties,
I get the same criticism with Republicans. They feel sort of slighted by the Republican party for the same reasons that Democrats up here feel slighted.
Well, it makes sense.
It's the same.
Politics is the numbers game.
It's the same problem for both parties.
Politics is a numbers game. Yeah, we're all up here getting all emotional on Chasm Radio. And, you know, the rest of the world just kind of goes where the numbers are. So we're going to we are worried about the same issues, and we certainly are capable of voting, and we have thoughts. And so those statewide races where we can have impact, I have to admit, we're also, don't forget, after we were quoted during a Democratic Perspective was quoted during the Ann Kirkpatrick campaign. You know, and I thought about some of the things I've said today. When they can take them out of context, they took our words out of context and use it against Ann in her campaign.
One word out of context. Next week, Sandy Barr, she's executive director of the Sierra Club.
We're going back to the
environment. In Arizona.
Yes.
And we're going to have her on the show. She's going to call in. And we're going to be talking about conservation issues. Because not only is there one national monument in the works here in Sedona, but there are a bunch more, and there's a lot of issues about wildlife and the role of the Arizona
the Grand
Game
Canyon
and Fish
Watershed
Department in being anti-conservationist. So we'll talk about that next week, and we have some other great shows coming up.
And please check out all our podcasts on vvid.org. All Verde Valley Independent Democrats, all our podcasts are on vvid.org, and they're pretty interesting, actually. Check it out. Come listen to our show next week, and bye-bye. Buy bonds.
And listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.